We'll grab our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2.
And let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're thankful, Lord, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can lead, guide, and direct us. And Lord, we're asking that you show us a new truth today, or maybe reveal to our hearts again a truth that we knew but forgot. Lord, we are desiring to endure. We're desiring to live by faith. We're desiring to continue to grow and not allow our trials or tribulations or tough circumstances dictate our emotions or allow our faith to waver. And bring clarity today, Lord, as we study this truth out on enduring and walking in faith as we seek to please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is now in prison. He knows he's, not going to make it. It's about 66 A.D. right now, his last imprisonment. A different imprisonment than when he's in his hired house for 2 years, writing Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. We call those the prison epistles. That's not a part of this. He actually gets released. He's out for about 2-3 years, and then gets arrested again. That's when he writes 2 Timothy. And it's to encourage Timothy. He desires Timothy to see him before he dies. Again, Paul knows he's going to die. We see a theme of endearing here in 2 Timothy. Now, the word endure actually means to undergo hardship, to suffer trouble. That's what enduring means. I think sometimes when we think of enduring, we think about us going through tough times, but to endure biblically actually means to undergo hardship. Now, we would say, like, hey, how do I live by faith, or how do I continue walking in faith as I'm enduring hardship? So here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's going to encourage Timothy here. He says here in verse 1, "So you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with the civilian affairs that he may please the enlisting officer. Anyone who competes as an athlete is not rewarded without competing legally. The farmer who labors should be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I am saying, may the Lord grant you understanding in all things." Now, this first point here I found very, very fascinating when Paul says, "So you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So Paul is telling Timothy to be strong, to have strength in grace. So I had to look up, how would that look practically? What does it even mean to be strong in Christ's grace? Grace actually here means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. So grace here means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life, including gratitude, acceptable, benefit, favor, pleasure, and thankful. So Paul is telling Timothy, hey man, you need to be strong in this area of the divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. Be strong in allowing the Christ in you to be seen out of you. Be strong in the Christ in you being seen out of you. Now, how would Timothy do that? In that grace, it's saying, including gratitude. So the first thing that Timothy would do is say, okay, if I am to be strong in grace, if I am to be strong in allowing God, Christ in me, be seen out of me, I need to start with being thankful. I need to start with being thankful. With that's going to be gratitude, being grateful, being acceptable, being a benefit to Christ, being a pleasure to Christ. So we see well-pleasing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that well-pleasing there. Let me go look for a second. I just read it the other day. 2 Corinthians 5. And it says, well-pleasing, fully agreeable. There we go. In 2 Corinthians 5, to live a life fully agreeable. So is Christ agreeing with what I'm doing, what I'm saying, how I'm behaving? So back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, so enduring actually means to undergo hardship, to actually suffer trouble. When that happens, to be strong in God's grace is to be strong in allowing God's influence to be seen out of me. Because when I am undergoing hardship, when I'm going through trouble, many times the natural thing is to not be well-pleasing to Christ. That's unnatural. We would call that supernatural. The natural part of me, in my flesh, when I'm going through a hardship or a tough time, is to give into the flesh. Maybe to complain. Maybe to blame shift. Maybe to feel entitled. Maybe to say, why me? Maybe to blame God. Maybe to do all those things. That's the flesh. Now, being tempted to do that is not wrong. It's what I do with it when I'm tempted. If I follow through with it and give it thought, allow it to gain ground in my mind, where the spiritual battle is, now my behavior will not be influenced to allow Christ to be seen out of me. It won't do that. So I gotta, when that temptation comes, to stop and think to myself, okay, I want to be strong in God's grace. How do I do that? I'm going to start with just being grateful. I'm just going to start with being grateful. I'm going to start by thinking to myself, okay, how can I be well-pleasing to Christ while going through this hardship, while going through this enduring trial? Now, again, we talked the last couple of weeks on in my mind, right? So a lot of times, we're not going through physical hardship. We're not going through a tough life circumstance physically. It's decisions that I have to make. Right, I'm processing information. Now I have to make a decision based on the information that I've been given. That's where a lot of our trials come from. Am I making the best decision? Am I making the best decision? Am I making the best decision? And to help, just on a practical side, as we're laboring through this enduring trial of trying to make the best decision, the easiest way to go backwards on that is God telling me no. If God's not telling you no, then you can make whatever decision you want. There's color. There's many options. Because if God's not saying no, he's allowing the yes. He's allowing me to make the best decision that I think I'm to make. Because allowing Christ to influence me and Christ's behavior to be seen in me can be done through several decisions that I make. So a lot of times we want to think to ourselves, man, I have all this information. I have all these things I got to do or get done. Am I doing that which is right? And I think let's go the opposite. Is God telling me no? Is God saying this is wrong? Because if he's not saying it's wrong, then I can be strong in God's grace. I can be strong in allowing God's Spirit to influence me to live out his truth based on this decision that's tough for me to make. Because again, our enduring in America, the 21st century in the Northwest, in Oregon and Douglas County, most of our hardships are not physical. What I mean by physical is I'm not running for my life. I'm not being hunted like an animal and being killed, burnt at the stake, crucified, etc. That's what I mean. We're not starving to death. Right? We're not thinking about when I wake up, where's my next meal? We don't have that with where we're at. So that's what I mean. Now, a physical ailment, maybe. Physical ailment, maybe. But even then, I can be strong in God's grace. That effort is in my will to acknowledge, God, I want you to influence my behavior through pain, through suffering, through tough decisions, through the uncertainty. Paul knows that he's only going to be with Timothy for a short time. He's not even with him now. He's asking Timothy to come see him before he dies. And he also knows that Timothy isn't going to be around for long either. Now, we don't know exactly when Timothy dies year-wise off the top of my head. I don't know off the top of my head. That's not until later. But he tells Timothy, hey, the things that I taught you, you now in return teach others the same things I taught you, who they can teach others also. So we can die as humans physically, but truth cannot die. It has to be passed on. Truth has to be passed on. First thing we see from Paul to Timothy is, hey, number one, be strong in God's grace. Grace there. Make sure I get the definition right. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. Be strong in God's influence upon your heart and let it be seen in life. It starts with gratitude, being acceptable, beneficial, favorable, and pleasurable. We also see, he says in verse 2, share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's one thing that can encourage Timothy, is to keep bringing up the spiritual truths that Paul taught him. Keep bringing them up and teaching. Keep bringing them up and teaching. One of the best ways to learn is to teach. Right? A lot of times, we might have a culture of how education is. And it's sitting down, receiving information. And our school system, and I don't want to say anything negative about it, is based on how good is your memory. That's really what it is. It's how well do you remember things? This information is not just how well do you remember things, but you need this information to experience it when you undergo tough times. So the information you're getting can only understand it as you go through that tough time, as I teach others. I'm only going to understand this information as I teach, because as I teach, I'm living out. And I'm seeing others live out what I'm teaching. And they're going to be experiencing certain things, right? Hey, yes, I'm living a life for Christ, and this is the persecution I'm getting. Yes, me too. I'm living a life for Christ, and here's what I'm receiving. So I'm experiencing a life, living for a God, a Jesus, who externally is bringing pain and suffering. There are certain truths that I have to know to get me through that. Number one that Paul teaches is the resurrection. It's not escaping your trial, biblically, to those people. It's not escaping dying. It's not escaping that. You will be hunted down and killed. Don't worry, because we have the resurrection. See how certain information we need at certain times for our culture? What can be hard for us is, okay, we don't have the physical trials that they're going through, and I am bombarded with all kinds of information. I have to figure out what information to keep and to let go. Right? I have to figure out what information that I'm taking in to actually help me make the best decision. And that can be from consider your source, right? Consider your source. So it would be wise of us to actually ask people advice or wisdom that maybe share the same values that I share and have already been or are going to where I want to go. Right? It's amazing how we can fall into a programmed mindset. And it's not even bad or negative. I'm just saying this is just how we talk. It's nothing negative, nothing bad. Just making an observation. How many times have we just naturally asked somebody, hey, can I have your opinion on this? Can I have your advice on this? Hey, what do you think about this? Not even thinking about their background, what they've gone through. Are they even saved? Do they even have my best interest? How are they raised? And they say, absolutely. And they start talking, and you're going, whoa, that's not what I would do. But now it's in there, right? Now it's in there. I think a great chapter we went over in our book, in our study, the Restored book, was it's so great I can remember. It was on discerning, what's coming to my mind is false information. False information, false teaching. What's that? False guidance. Thank you. Yes, Joe. False guidance, right? People might mean well, but they're guiding you in a false way. But now that information is in my mind. People mean well, giving you false guidance. I got to be careful about that, don't I? I got to be careful. As long as I'm teaching what I've been taught, if I teach someone what I've been taught spiritually, that will be on my mind. That will be on my mind. And I can now filter information through my mind on truths that I'm living out and teaching. You see how that works? So what I soak in, what I meditate in, what I live in, that will be the foundation on how I discern or translate information in my mind to make a decision. Now, I need to have a foundation on where I even want to go, which Paul does a great job of this in his writings on heaven. Heaven's your home to be with Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So if I really, really, really believe that, I will be less tempted to gather and hold on to physical possessions. I'm not against physical possessions. I am for them. I'm for having the best stuff, best quality, all that great things. Absolutely. But it's not a part of who I am. It's a resource that I have to make my life a little bit easier, which, amen, praise God. But it's just a resource. I got to watch out for things that are resources becoming my God. Computer is a great resource. I'm all for it. I use it every day. But how much time am I giving to it? How much time am I giving to it? Here's the kicker. If I know I'm spending too much time with certain resources that make my life easier. I'm using computer as an example. Computer, phone, tools, going somewhere, vehicle, you picture whatever you want. When I make that resource and I rely on it, now it becomes a part of me, which I'm spending. When I know this is too much and yet I still keep doing it, now we have an addiction. Now we have a problem. Now we have a problem. Now I can't I can't be strong in God's grace. I can't be strong in allowing His divine influence to be seen out of me. Why? Because I'm allowing something else to take its place here. Here's what you'll notice. Overall, big picture. When a resource or something comfortable gets too much ground in my mind, or when I allow too much false guidance information become a part of my mind, I will resist and I will stay away from things that are godly. You can't get around it. You can't get around it. I'll resist being around certain people that I know who are genuine. I'm not just saying people in general. People who are genuinely born-again believers that want to be around me. I'll resist them. I'll resist things like church. I'll resist the Bible. I'll resist the conviction that I go, this is not right. I shouldn't be doing this. But, and now I start making excuses like I'm arguing with God. I'll resist the truth. I'll resist trying to make things clear in my life to accept God and to now be strong in His grace. I'll resist it. Now, when that happens, let that be a wonderful red flag to you. Nothing negative, good, positive. I see that I've gone off track. I've seen that I've allowed this to influence me other than grace influencing me. This resource, who it's designed for my comfort, ease, whatever, is now taken over me. Because now I'm making decisions based on what this thing that's influencing me thinks. What my fishing boat thinks. Now I say that because no one has that here that does that. Try to think of examples that won't be offensive to anybody in here. My fishing boat thinks, Bob's not here, what my golf clubs think. No, just kidding, because I go with them. But now I'll start allowing what influences me to now dictate certain behaviors and make decisions for me based on what that thinks, whatever that is, computer, internet, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever. Those things, tractor, car, vehicle, internet, social media, in and of themselves are actually really, really good. And we should use them. Not to the extent to where they're now influencing me. Because at the end of the day, it's who I am in Christ that matters. And the who I am in Christ wants to be around who you are in Christ. It wants to be around who you are in Christ. And you, and you, and you. That's what it wants. It wants to be an environment, the spirit in me wants to be an environment that the environment is strong in God's grace. The environment wants to allow the divine influence of God to be seen out. And what better way to practice this skill? Because it's nothing, you're not born with this. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you don't have all of this. You have to be taught it. You have to experience it. You have to advance this skill. What better place to advance this skill than in the body? Don, I know where you're going. I know you well enough. I know you enough to know that me and you are on the same page, bro. I want to go where you're going. I want to be around you. We have the same values, right? Now, we're not always talking constantly about theology, but we're on the same page. There's a piece there. I can develop my skill with others in this room. I can allow the divine influence of the Holy Spirit in me to be seen in behavior by being grateful for you, and grateful for you, and grateful for you, and thankful for you. And I want to be well-pleasing to you. That's the Christ in me. And the more of an environment I'm around that's going to allow that, the better off I'm going to be. Now, I don't have time to read all of 2 Timothy, but it would behoove you to read it and see. He tells Timothy, stay away from these people. Stay away from these things. and be around these things. Why? Because the direction he wants Timothy to go, and he knows Timothy can't get there if he's dabbling in this stuff over here. Not even necessarily bad, but it's influencing him in the wrong way. Influencing him in the wrong way. Before I go on to the next step here, we'll have Dave come on up and lead us in this song, Days of Elijah. All right, back in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll continue reading on down here. And some other examples. He says here in chapter 2, verse 3, endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with civilian affairs, that he may please the enlisting officer. Anyone who competes as an athlete is not rewarded without competing legally. The farmer who labors should be first to partake of the crops. So we see the examples here that Timothy gives. Enduring as a soldier has the idea of being focused as a soldier and not allowing worldly affairs influence you. Right? I'm here to please my officer. I'm here to do what he tells me to do, Christ being the officer, right? Christ being the one that we're here to focus on. He also says that an athlete won't receive a reward unless he does it legally. So there are rules to follow. So the example is that Timothy, you just can't do what you want, when you want, how you want. There are rules in which Christ wants you to live by. Now, specifically, he will tell Timothy what rules he has for him. For Timothy, he says he wants him to study, to be approved. He wants him to depart iniquity. He wants him to pursue righteousness. And again, these rules are for Timothy. He wants him to have faith, love, and peace. He wants him to avoid foolish debates. He wants him to be gentle when he teaches and not quarrel. He wants him to continue the things that Paul has taught him, to preach the word and be ready, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. He's telling Timothy, hey, you need to be self-controlled, you need to endure afflictions, and you need to do the work of an evangelist. So those are the rules that he wants Timothy, as an athlete, to live by. And when it's all said and done, he'll receive his reward. Now the cool thing is about the farmer here is the farmer is the first one to benefit from the crops he's grown. So as I labor, I benefit first from my labor. So you also, when you labor for the Lord, you will be the first one to benefit. When you live in obedience, there is a certain satisfaction. There is a certain fulfillment. When I live in obedience, when I labor for the Lord. When I say labor, number one, if we focus just on our labor as the first thing here, be strong in God's grace. I want to labor in a way to where it allows the Holy Spirit to influence me to be seen out physically. I want to labor in that. I want to labor in that. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Galatians 2:20. I am now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's now my new me. That's what I want to be laboring in, is my new identity. A lot of times when we think of labor, we think of doing all these things for God. And what I've noticed, the more and more I read the New Testament, the more and more I see, be well-pleasing. Behave this way. Most of it's behavioral. Hey, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God the Father in heaven. Those are all things that I can control and do no matter what circumstance is coming my way. No matter what tough decision, no matter what trial I'm going through, behavior can still go forward. So as a believer in Christ, my circumstance that I'm going through, the decisions I have to make, cannot influence me nor dictate how I behave. I am collecting this information, I'm making these decisions, I'm going through this tough time, but there is a requirement of still being well-pleasing, to still be that sweet-smelling Savior that God wants. So I can't allow the pressures of life and the more and more things that I get myself involved in, not bad, totally good, the more and more things I'm involved in, the more and more places I put myself in a position to make tough decisions, I got to have more and more grace to be strong in. I have to now allow more and more opportunities for Christ to live through me and be seen in me to others. While I'm making tough decisions, while I'm battling spiritually and mentally, while I'm going through what I'm going through, the circumstances, the people I'm involved with, I can't let what I'm going through influence how I behave. It's the opposite. Paul, I talked about it last week. Paul said the thorn in his flesh, the pain he was going through, the severeness of it was so intense, he asked God 3 times to take it from him. And what did God say? No. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul says, I now then take pleasure in weakness, because what I found is that when I am weak, then I am strong. So what the world brings at you, what Satan wants to tempt you with, the ungodly counsel, ungodly advice that's given to you, all the information that we take in, if we're not careful, wants to take you away from being strong in God's grace. It wants to take you away from being a good soldier, being focused on my purpose. It wants to take you away from living by the rules. Wants to take you away from being the first one to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Wants to take you away from that. So when I'm faced with some tough decisions, when I'm going through a tough life circumstance, when I have so much information and I just don't know what to do, stop. And say, I'm going to be strong in God's grace. And that means I'm going to allow the divine influence to influence me to be seen out physically. And I can start by just being grateful. Isn't it nice that I have a brand new vehicle that I might not be able to make the payment on? I have a vehicle that I might not be able to make the payment on. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I have a vehicle. I have a phone to where I might not be able to pay that bill. I'm grateful that I have that. I have a computer. I'm thankful that I have a hospital bill. I'm thankful that I have that I might not be able to pay. Why? Because that was a resource that I used for good. That was a resource that I'm using. But now it might get turned to something where I'm uncomfortable with. That's okay. I am enjoying my resource. And if it's being used to bring pain to me or uncertainty, isn't that nice that I actually have that option? What a game changer mentally, right? I actually have family members that I don't always like being around. But you have them. But you have them. I actually have a job that I really don't like going to, but you have it. You have it. I have a house that I might not be able to make the mortgage payment on, but you got it. It's being grateful. Isn't it amazing when I just think about the gratitude of first world problems? First world problems. All the time, all the influence I allow and worry about, first world comforts, are usually what consume our minds to be anxious about. And I'm not saying don't be anxious about it. I'm just saying flip it to being grateful for it. Because 100 years ago, we weren't worrying about these things. Not amazing? Worry has always been there. Anxiousness has always been there. Tough times have always been there, right? Epidemics have always been there. Hard times have always been there. I mean, every generation has them. And yet, these biblical truths have seen believers just like you through all of those. Through all of them. There is nothing different that we're going through that they haven't gone through either in the Bible. Or 100 years ago, believers. 200 years ago, believers. So these truths, these principles, we can apply to our lives today. Absolutely. Be strong in the grace of the Lord. Be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. Be strong in allowing the divine influence to be seen physically out of me. Gratefulness. Thankfulness. Appreciation. Things that I value. Just starting there. It sounds so simple, isn't it? It is simple, but it's not easy. Simple and easy are two different things. What's easy is to give in to the flesh. What's easy is to give in to the panic, the what would I do without this, or what am I going to do with this decision? Now that I know this information, what am I going to do with it? Be strong in God's grace. Be grateful. Be thankful. Appreciate what you have in Christ. Be thankful that you have a home in heaven. Be thankful that I can still focus on being a good soldier. My purpose is following Christ. That's my enlisting officer. That's my officer I'm following. I'm still going to follow the rules. Okay, I can't allow my circumstance to deviate from doing things wrong or immoral or illegal, right? And when I do those things, I'll be the first one to partake of the fruit of the crop. I will feel fulfilled in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes within me first before it goes out. The fruits are felt in me first before they're seen out. Isn't that cool? I will experience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. I'll have that first to then give out second. Really, really neat. What can help me with this? Teach others also. Teach others also. When I say teach, I'm not saying, Dave, sit down, let me explain something to you. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. It can be something as simple as a 30-second conversation to where Dave says, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I go, man, just the other day, I thought the same thing, and here's what God told me. Boom. I was taught him something that I went through with that same verse he told me or a different verse. 30 seconds. So your life is teaching somebody something. Right? Your life, how you live, how you hold yourself, how you behave, how you allow information to influence you, how you allow your resources to influence you, how you allow your circumstances to influence you. You're teaching people something about your God. You are. The things you talk about, how you talk, what you say, how you say it, is teaching people about your God. You can't get around it. And if we just shift maybe our thought process, you guys doing okay so far? Okay. So I want to start going on another sermon. I just want to get this one thought out, and I'll do my best. The world looks at results, right? The world looks at starts and finishes. The world looks at results-oriented. How well did you do on this test? How well did you do on this essay, exam, this project? How well did you do on filing your taxes? How well did you do on all this stuff? But the Bible isn't that way. The Bible is process-oriented. Okay, the Bible is patient-oriented. Working with people is gentle, is kind, is allowing time to grow, is allowing time to stumble forward. If you notice, this is slanted coming down this way. And so when I trip and fall, like sometimes I do, I'm going forward as I'm going up. The world's point of view, when I say world, I'm not saying people necessarily, but the world, flesh and devil, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, that view looks at you did wrong. You are bad. You messed up. You failed. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow that thought process to influence us, look at other believers and go, you failed. You messed up. You're horrible. Why can't you? I just don't understand. That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life. That's how Satan thinks. Not Christ. Speech gentle, encourage, lift up, bear one another's burdens. The strong brother endure the weak brother, right? Process oriented. So Don might be where he's at right now, and it might not be exactly where God wants him, and I can see that. Bob can be like, come on, Don, seriously, let's get there. Come on, buddy. No, I'm going to come alongside and say, hey, man, let's just come alongside each other, and let's just go together. I'm not even worried about me teaching you something. I just want to share what I know. I'm worried about me being well-pleasing. I'm worried about me doing what's right. And if you want to come with me, let's do it together. So I'm freeing myself of me taking on Don doing right and wrong, Don passing, failing. I'm saying, nope, let's go this way. Timothy is being taught, hey, you don't worry about those of the world. I didn't do a good job of reading all of Timothy to get the context here. But he tells Timothy, stay away from these people saying these things. If you read on, it'll explain what I'm trying to get to. I'm running out of time. Stay away from these people that focus on these things. They have a worldly mindset. They're thinking from the world. You teach from this heart set. This heart set over here in Christ. And you guide and direct them this way. Because it's coming from you first. It's coming from you first. So it starts with, if I want to get over there and have people come alongside me over there, naturally, I'm going to focus on being strong in God's grace. Allowing the divine influence to influence me. I'm going to yield to it so it comes out in my behavior. I'm going to focus on gratitude, appreciation, thankfulness. I'm going to teach the things that I know to others so it's always on my mind so I can still be strong on the Lord. I'm going to focus on my purpose. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm focused on ministry and ministry only. When I say ministry, it's allowing my gift to help people. That's ministry, right? I'm not saying in church with a suit and tie. Just being available for God. I have rules to follow. I have rules to follow. And God has rules individually for you all. They're called convictions. If you don't know what your convictions are, I might pray about them and say, Lord, what are my convictions? Now, we all know to be well-pleasing, there's a foundation to live a life for him who died for me, that I can live for him, to live a life well-pleasing to the Lord. At the end of it, and even during it, during that process, and at the end, I will be the first one to partake of my labor. I'll be the first one to enjoy it as a farmer. Awesome. Really, really cool. That's how 2 Timothy 2 can relate to us today. Focusing on those principles and those truths. Let's pray. Father, we are very grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. Thankful for teaching us how to endure these tough times, these decisions, these things that we're going through. It's amazing that the focus isn't on the actual trial, but allowing you to live through us and influence us to where your behavior is seen out of us through that trial. Allow our hearts and minds to be focused on how you spoke to us today. May we be obedient to your convicting spirit and how you want to guide us in our individual lives. And we're so grateful and thankful for just your truth, Lord, that can still guide and direct us today. Bless our afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen.